Ghost Night Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
Hey everybody, it's Thursday night. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. I am Karen Frazier. Rick Hale is off tonight, so sitting in with me, reluctantly, is Cheryl Knight. Hey Cheryl.
Hey Karen. Nice to be here.
Yeah, well, you're not always here.
Oh wait, yeah, that's right. I'm always here, I just don't usually talk.
No, well, you do. We usually try to make you talk, but you actually agreed to it pretty quickly this week. I was really surprised.
I didn't even say, when you suggested that I co-host with you, I didn't even try and talk you out of it.
You didn't even
argue. I usually always do.
I know. I think you're getting better, so.
I'm getting better with it, I think.
Yes. So we have some great guests coming on in a few minutes. We are going to be talking to Julie and Rosemarie, and they are from Afterlife Paranormal Investigations of the Carolinas. So we'll go to them in just a few minutes. Promises to be a good show regardless of whether Rick has made it on the show tonight or not, right?
Oh, yeah. We'll miss him, but it'll be a great show.
That's right. And so I have... It's a girl power show tonight.
Woo.
Yeah. So I have deigned to come down off of Laundry Mountain, or as we call it, Mount Laundry in our house, so that I could speak to you this evening. You know, I mentioned when we had the Fibic box here in the house that my washing machine broke, and that was, what, 2-3 weeks ago?
Yeah.
We finally got the new one delivered today. So here's the good thing. I'm doing laundry, but this is what I've discovered. When the zombie apocalypse comes, we'll have several weeks of clean towels and clean clothes before I have to run around in raggedy, dirty clothes.
You are prepared.
I am prepared for the zombie apocalypse. At least I am prepared to look fabulous during the zombie apocalypse and have clean towels.
We have a little crowd in the chat room, and Chad, who's in the chat room, he says, Karen is a Sherpa on Laundry Mountain.
I am the Laundry Mountain Sherpa. And I wish that I could just say, you know, this is the only time that we've ever had Laundry Mountain, and it was because we were so put out with our washing machine dying. But we've had Laundry Mountain. We've seen Laundry Mountain conditions before in this house.
I hate to say we have those here way too often.
I know. Well, try to have your washing machine break for 3 weeks. But now we have a new one. It looks like a spaceship. Life is good.
I saw the picture on Facebook. I thought
it
was cool.
Well, and I have it in, it's sitting in my laundry room, and it's dark in the laundry room, and it's, of course, running furiously because Laundry Mountain is getting smaller.
Yes.
And as I was walking back to come back here to do this show, I saw all of these glowing lights in the laundry room. The thing has like about 20 lights all lit up when it works on the panel. It's very exciting.
I just have to say, because Rob in the chat room says it's a sexy washer machine.
It is.
So,
yeah.
Can a washing machine be sexy? It sounds like yours might be.
When, you know, yes, because you sit on them, never mind. Yes, I think that washing machines can be part of sexy time.
All right. Wow. And here we are again.
Oh, yes. So, we have a big investigation coming up this weekend. Pretty excited about that.
Oh, cool. Tell us. Talk about it.
Well, we are going to be investigating with several other teams on a very well-known haunt here in Western Washington. It's a private investigation. There's Whoopi will be there with us, Elaine, who's in the chat room, part of her team.
Cool.
And then past is present. And it's going to be on a naval destroyer that was active in the Vietnam War.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have a feeling it's going to be quite an investigation. Ships that have seen that kind of activity just to me seem like it could be a hotbed of paranormal activity.
Yeah, and actually it is. My team, South Sound Paranormal Research, was the first team to investigate this particular ship a few years ago. And it was incredible the things that happened while they were there, and this is the first time they've made it back. A lot of teams have investigated it since our team did, but my team was the first, and I wasn't part of that investigation. But I'm really excited about going. I'm a little claustrophobic, but they tell me that it's pretty open and big, that it's a really big ship. So
good, it shouldn't be a problem then.
Yeah, and then yesterday, was it yesterday? Yeah. No, it was election day, so it was Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
One of our team members lives in a haunted house, and she's had her activity has just been picking up. Crazy
picking up.
And so she asked Patty and I to come out, and so we were out on Tuesday in the afternoon and did a little investigating there, and holy crap, that place is hopping.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Can you say what kind of stuff goes on?
Well, it's all sorts of stuff. It's you see shadow figures, and you see actual figures. You'll hear voices. They'll hear, like, her voice, and they'll think she's calling the kids, or they'll think she's calling her husband or something, and it's not her.
I've had that happen, and it's the freakiest thing when you realize it's not the person you thought was talking to you.
That's right. Hey, so anyway, I got lots of EVPs. Interesting place.
Okay.
You know, who knows? She'd like it to end, but you can't make them go away. But you can certainly suggest to them that there's a better place. And we did that, and the activity continues. So I was very persuasive and effective. So do you want to talk about what happened to you this week?
I certainly can. I mean, I don't...
I think you should.
I don't know. It's some strange things, but I'm not sure if they're paranormal or not. Chad's kind of like taking me back to the other side, Karen, after our discussion, the day before.
Yeah, Chad poo-pooing you?
He is. He's poo-pooing me in a little way. But what happened was, and we've had activity here before that seems paranormal in nature to me. Voices, you know, things moving. Just some interesting things. And what happened the other night is I was in the kitchen doing dishes, and I started feeling something burning on my neck. And I thought, oh, I don't know what that is, but I thought it would just go away. Well, it kept getting worse and worse until it was so painful that I had to stop what I was doing, go in the bathroom and look, and it was like this long scratch on the side of my neck. Well, I had not remembered touching my neck or scratching my neck. So I was like, what in the heck did I do? I didn't bump into something, you know? So that was a little strange. So I mentioned it to Chad and asked him to take a look at it. And he said, yeah, it's a scratch. And so a little bit later, we were in the living room and we heard a noise. I thought it was in the kitchen. I think at first Chad did too, but later said it was probably the neighbor in the adjoining, we share a wall with somebody else.
Right.
So, later he thought it was that. He's in the chat room saying we have no demons here. Well, I don't.
Well,
I'm not saying we are. We do.
You emailed me about that. I never suggested it was a demon.
No, no, you did not suggest it was demon.
Mm-mm. No, and I didn't think that it was.
Yeah.
Because, as you know, I'm a little skeptical about demons.
Right. For me, I think if it's anything, it's something trying to get our attention. I usually only hear things when Chad is in the other room. I think maybe it's trying to get my attention specifically, but I'm not sure. So we talked about doing some sage burning here. You were kind of talking to me about it, and I was thinking about doing it. And Chad thinks I should wait and see if anything else happens. So right now we're kind of in a waiting pattern, if
All
you
right.
will. So even though we've had many things happen in the past, we're still going to wait and see.
Okay, well, that sounds fair enough to me, but as long as it's not, here's the thing about a ghost or a haunting. There's nothing inherently bad about a haunting.
Mm-hmm.
When it becomes a problem is when it starts to affect your life in negative ways. When it affects how you feel about your place, if it makes so you can't go to sleep. We have crazy crap happen in this house all of the time.
Yeah.
And it doesn't bother me.
Right.
It doesn't really bother me at all. It doesn't bother Tanner or Jim or the dogs. And so it doesn't affect us. And so we don't do a lot about it. Other than occasionally when they get a little rambunctious and I'm trying to get something done, I tell them to knock it off and they do. You know, I'm not real fond of walking down the hall and having them click the lights off on me. But,
right. I haven't had that feeling that I can't sleep here, that I'm afraid to turn, you know, go around the corner and see what's there. Nothing like that. I mean, I have had some uneasy feelings, but nothing. Nah, nothing
right.
big.
Right. Yeah. And so I will tell you this, you don't investigate your own home.
Yeah. You know, we keep thinking, okay, we're going to bring out the Ouija board, or we're going to bring out the EVP, and do some EVP sessions. And then when it comes down to it, we really don't want to do it.
Well, so. You know, even if you just have your daughter come in and investigate, you don't want to investigate your own home. You have to live there.
Right.
I mean, you can, but you also will have to live with the fact that if you open those lines of communication they enjoy that.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen next? It's going to increase. Where if somebody from the outside comes in and tries to communicate, it's different because they're leaving. They're the ones who are making the attempt to communicate, not you.
Right. Yeah.
So
I agree.
Have you talked to your neighbors?
Not very often. I mean, occasionally we bump into each other and say hello, but I haven't had any discussions about
to see if they had had any.
I would be too. I don't really know how I'd bring it up, but I do know people move in and out of here often. So I always question that. Why do people move in and out of this complex so often? And there's not that many units here. There's maybe 12.
Yeah,
they move out left and right.
I would be interesting to. Oh, there. Elaine says that we should go to your place.
Woo! It's really small. You would be able to investigate it in about 30 minutes.
then go to Disneyland.
And then, exactly. We're going to Disneyland. Woo! Yeah.
Well, you know, or you know people down there. Do you know anybody down there who investigates?
I mean, there's a few groups right around here.
Aren't Mark and Barb right by you? Nelson?
I think they may be around LA or somewhere around that.
Maybe
that
you
area.
Should contact Mark and see if he and Barb will come out.
I sometimes I think that's a great idea, having someone come out, and then other times it's almost like I'd rather just leave it as it is because it's not that bad, and what if it stirs it up, you know? Like we were talking
about.
Well,
it might.
Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely might, but typically if it's somebody else that stirs it up, it sort of settles back in. It'll settle back in again.
That's true.
You just stir it up for a day or two. But if it doesn't distress you, that's great. But I and you know, you and Chad are welcome to do anything you want. You can get out that Ouija board and see what's going on. It's not something that I would recommend to somebody who didn't know a darn thing about the paranormal.
I don't think we're gonna break it out after all, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's a nice fancy Ouija board though. Like, does it glow in the dark, Chad? Oh, he's got his headphones on. I think it glows in the dark.
Is it one of those? I saw the coolest Ouija boards because I was researching talking boards for some stuff I was doing. Mm-hmm. And I saw the coolest Ouija boards that were like these big, huge, stone-looking things. They were so cool. I just have like one of the glow-in-the-dark ones, too.
Okay, he said yes, it's one of those glow-in-the-dark ones.
So. Yeah, those are very cool. Yeah. So here's what we need to do. We need to go to break.
Yes.
And we'll come back with our guests in just a few minutes, and we'll be talking some ghosts and UFOs and all of that stuff. So awesome. Stick around. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com.
Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained.
Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at ParanormalUG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
First there came radio, and it was good. Then it got bad. Then there came satellite radio, and it was okay. Then it got too expensive and kind of sucked. Now there is something new, something better, something free. Stitcher Radio for the iPhone and BlackBerry. With Stitcher, you can hear all the shows and podcasts you can imagine, rate them, and build your own station. No downloading, no syncing, no problem. Just pick a station to get started, like American news and politics. Now, look at the shows you have to pick from, pick one, and start listening. Like it, make a favorite, and start your own station. Don't like it? Thumb it down and say bye-bye to shows like it. Or thumb it up to find more like it. Plus, you can search and find your favorite podcasts. We have over 1,000 shows to pick from. Stitcher Radio, the natural evolution in audio listening. And it's free.
On the go and missing another one of your favorite Z-Talk shows? Now you don't have to. Simply go to the Google Play Store on your Android phone and download the Z-Talk Radio app. The best part is, it's absolutely free. That's Z-Talk Radio. Only found in your Google Play Store on your Android phone. Download it today.
Identification. You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network. Operating frequency on ZTalkRadio.com.
Hey everybody, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio on ZTalk Radio. I'm Karen Frazier. With me, Cheryl Knight, who is sitting in for Rick Hale tonight. We have our guests on the line now, and I'm going to try and not butcher their names. They told me off the air, and I'm going to keep my fingers crossed. They are with Afterlife Paranormal Investigations of the Carolinas. And our guests are Rosemary Ledegar and Julie Beckstein. Was that right?
Yes. Yes.
Good job, Karen.
Welcome to the show, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks so much for coming on. And you brought some EVPs. And Rick is going to be really upset because we actually typically play a game where we try to guess what the EVPs say. And I have the lifetime lead because I'm just that good. And the last time we had somebody on, I had a really bad head cold, and so we didn't play the game. And so he's going to be really bummed that you sent EVPs. But I have to tell our listeners, I have been promised that these are some creepy EVPs, and that makes me happy. So you both have been investigating for quite some time. And I noticed that, I think it was Julie, you started when you were really young and you saw your grandfather in your doorway. Is that right?
That is right, yes. When I was a little kid, that was kind of like the first experience I ever had. And I remember him standing there kind of watching over me when I was sick. And at the time I had told my mom, and, you know, she looked at the door and she said, there's nothing there. And she kind of asked me what he was wearing, and as I recall, she could even kind of substantiate that he was dressed like he would have been dressed, you know, when she knew him and such. So it was a neat thing, and I can still kind of picture it in my mind.
Wow. So have you had that type of experience all your life? Does that come from some type of a sensitivity, do you think, or were you just lucky?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. I think when my dad passed, honestly, about 8 or 9 years ago, ever since then, it's really been heightened, I guess, just because he's around so much, I think. And then living in a house with a lot of history, I think that's also heightened it. But there's always been some sensitive some sensitive skills, I guess you'd say.
Sure. And you live in a really old house, right? It's like a 100-year-old restored house.
Exactly. I'm probably 20 feet from the cemetery right now.
Do you own the cemetery?
We actually like own part of the land over there, and then the guy next door, he is really in charge of it, but we maintain it for him.
Wow, very cool. And so, and Rosemarie, you have been doing this for 25 years.
Yes, ma'am.
So, what happened 25 years ago that made you decide to do this?
Well, it started when I was a kid. Actually, the house we lived in was built on a battleground, Revolutionary War in New York. And I had no clue about it, but I started having weird stuff happening to me from the time I was like 10 years old. And it just always fascinated me. I'd hear, you know, knocking on my door, and I'd go there, and there's nobody there, and things moving around by themselves, and lights turning off and on. And it was just, instead of being scared, in the first time I was kind of freaked out. I was like, what's going on, you know? And my mom and dad, of course, thought I was crazy. Mm-hmm. But I've been sensitive my whole life. So I pick up on things. We'd go to historic houses, and I'd pick up on spirit activity and things like that there. And when I got older, I just decided, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and try to find proof, because a lot of it I didn't believe. I thought a lot of it was in my head. I thought I was imagining it. I'm the kind of person, I want to see the proof,
yeah,
you know, even
too.
If I've seen it myself. So that's what started me, and, you know, I took it from there.
Yeah, once it sort of gets under your skin and you want to see proof. So, do you think that you've seen proof now? Have you proven what you started? And this is for either one of you, actually. Have you proven what you started to set out to prove? And if so, then why do you continue?
You want to go first, Rosie?
Sure. I have not, because I don't have any video proof. Video proof is the ultimate. We do have EVP, but there's varying theories on it that I can't prove that it's a spirit. We assume or we guess that it is. The theory is it is. There's really no other explanation for it while, you know, you're listening to it, because when we're in a situation, we all know who's there. And when we're on an investigation, we're very careful about if we move, we say we moved, you know, nobody whispers, I mean, things
right.
like that. But video, I mean, I've seen things, but I can't prove it. So for me, it's all about if I catch it on a video I have taken, not
right.
that I've seen on TV or on the computer or whatever, then I can prove it. But I don't have that right now.
So who are you trying to prove it to, yourself or to other people or to both?
Both. Definitely both, because I know people have, everybody's got questions about death. It's a great mystery. And if I could prove to myself and to them that, yes, sir, this is real, ghosts do exist, you know, spirits do exist, then, you know, it would benefit everybody, I think.
Sure. So, Julie, how about you? Have you found what you're looking for, do you think?
No, I think it's more in my terms, I guess, to try to help others with it. You know, living in a house where there's kind of, that we have quite a bit of activity, and yeah, just being a little more sensitive to it, I think. It's, you know, I've learned not to be afraid of it, and, you know, trying to help others, I think, is a huge part of it. And then also, you know, as far as the proof goes, like Rosemarie said, you know, video would be the ultimate proof, of course. The EVPs are great. The noises you hear are great. You know, the creepy smells, the weird stuff that goes on, it's all there, but... You know, have we found the ultimate proof? I don't think so. But if you add up the collective experiences, I think there's definitely something there. I don't think
yeah.
we have the ultimate, the holy grail of proof yet. But I think we have enough to know that we're onto something.
Well, I don't think the holy grail of proof exists, and I'll tell you why. I have gone back and forth for years, since I was a kid too, where for a while I believe and then for a while I don't believe. And, you know, I think I've reached a state where I know something's going on, but I don't think that there's anything that would prove it to me. Mm-hmm. I don't think having it on video would prove it to me. I mean, and I've had some crazy experiences. And so I know something's going on, but here's where I have trouble. And maybe this is where you guys have trouble too, is I have trouble making a leap that these experiences that I have, and I've had, you know, I've seen full-bodied apparitions. I've had things come flying through the air at me that nobody threw. You know, I've been touched. I've been poked. I've had my hair pulled. All of that stuff. But all of those things are certainly anomalous, but the leap I can't make is that that is the spirit of a dead person.
Right. Correct.
So is that yours? Is that yours as well, or is it something else?
Julie?
Which one?
Can I answer that first?
Sure.
You know, I think I'm partially there where I can believe that it is just because of my own experiences with my dad.
Sure.
You know, it's a really, it's, you don't usually talk about such crazy things, but you know, there's things where, for example, you know, there's things around the house. My dad is Mr. Fix-It. He's an engineer. He could do everything. If we have something broken to this day, if I think about him and think about whatever the thing is, I can have an answer in my head and you know, in a few seconds. My husband can do that too. Now to me, you know, I have no knowledge of anything mechanical. It's a wonder I can start the car. So, you know, it's there's things that to me that are all, you know, that kind of stuff is almost halfway to proof. Do you know what I mean? Just the personal interaction, I guess it is, with the spirit world.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense, and that's what keeps me coming back, is that personal interaction.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So, yeah, I think that's fascinating what you just said about fixing things, though, and, yeah, you know, knowing how to do that. Boy, that would be handy.
It is awesome, I'll tell you, because there's things here, you know, especially just working. We live on a farm, and just trying to fix tractors and things like that and old, you know, machinery. Sometimes Kirk, my husband, will lose parts or, you know, need a tool, and You know, even he's a total skeptic, and even he will hear a voice saying, oh, go look in the third drawer on the left.
Well,
now,
I need that.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's, if you have a handyman on the other side, it's good.
You know, I think that should be the title of your autobiography, A Handyman on the Other Side.
I think it's a good one. I like it.
I do, too. I like it a lot.
It's great.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. So what do you think, Rosemary? Do you think that you have made that leap that ghosts are the spirits of dead people, or that our anomalous experiences are true? You know what I'm asking.
No, I do. I do believe they're the spirits of dead people. Energy never dies, so it must go somewhere when we pass. So I do believe that it is. I've had experiences where I've known the person, and nobody could have known what I felt from that person other than me and that person. So, I mean, I'll get instincts or feelings, I don't know how you want me to describe it, but of something being said to me, and it can only be the person, but it's not in my head, it's hearing it, actually hearing it.
So,
does that make any sense?
That makes total sense to me. So I wonder, so like Karen, you were questioning, okay, you know, you believe less, or you don't believe at all. It's like that's also similar to some of the things that I've been going through lately. You know, since I've had experiences forever. I mean, since I was young. And yet I get to that point where there's no question. Of course there's an afterlife, and these are spirits of the deceased coming back to communicate or for help or for whatever they're here for. But then, like lately, I think, well, maybe it's not that at all. Maybe it's something completely different. Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm crazy.
Am I just fooling myself? I've been asking lately a lot. So I'm kind of in that phase myself. But then when I hear, you know, people say what you just said, was that Julie or Rosemary who just...
The handyman thing?
Yeah.
That was Julie.
That's me. That's Julie.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that makes total sense. That I'm back to where, you know. So it's really hard to come to that, for me, to come to that ultimate, yes, this is 100% certainty.
Right.
Which I really... I'm kind of jealous in a way of people who are there, because I want to be there, but I can't seem to stay there. I get there occasionally, and then I can't stay there.
You know, what's interesting about that is that when I was a kid, I grew up in a family that was a family of faith, went to the Christian church, blah, blah, mm-hmm. blah, you know, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And I would see all of the people who had this tremendous faith and absolutely believed. And you're right, I was jealous of them because mm-hmm. I never could, because for me, faith is not something that's very easy. And I think that's one of the things that with the paranormal is that no matter how much we want to scientifically prove or have that holy grail or whatever it is, it feels like there's still an element of faith involved in the paranormal. Right. Would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, totally.
I do too. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to put it too. It is. It's very similar in a sense to religion, with, you know, it's faith-based.
Mm-hmm. It is. Mm-hmm. But it's also very comforting if you do have that belief. I know when I finally made the leap where I thought, okay, this is it. I've had the experiences that show me that clearly something is happening. Clearly something happens after we die. It was really comforting to me.
It is. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. And that's... Go ahead.
That would be comforting to anybody, because we all have those doubts.
And the grief, too, you know, especially when you lose someone. It's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, that's mm-hmm. a huge comfort.
But so how do you convey that? Because I know, Julie, you said that really for you it's about helping the clients and helping reframe this. So how do you show that to somebody when you have a client and they've got, you know, like... People say that my house would scare the crap out of them, because I'll be walking down the hall and I'll hear a giggle and the light will turn off. You know, and it doesn't scare me because this is what I do. Mm-hmm. But when you've got somebody who has no context for that and you go into their house and they've got scary things happening, how do you reframe it in a way that they can find the comfort in that as opposed to the fear?
I think sometimes you have to relate it to them, to their house or to the history or to, you know, something almost tangible that they can actually, you know, kind of, I guess, wrap their minds around. You know, we really go ahead and research a property and try to present that to the client and show, okay, well, maybe, you know, it could be, you know, what you're hearing could be because of such and such, or, you know, if we can't debunk it otherwise. And I think the other thing is to, you know, to talk about our personal experiences and tell them, you know, that, you know, most of the time, you know, there's nothing really to be afraid of, that we can all live together here somehow, some way. And, you know, it's actually, you know, there's two different ways to go about it. They can either take control of their house if it's a really bad situation, or they can learn to coexist. And it's actually kind of a neat thing, you know,
sure,
to have that. You're actually kind of lucky, I think.
Sure. Now, Rosemary, you are a Wiccan minister, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. And so, you know, one of the things that I feel about the paranormal that we've missed out on, and I think we miss out on it a lot because of television shows and the way that they convey paranormal investigation and research at this time, is we miss out on the metaphysical aspects of what we do as paranormal investigators. So do you bring your Wiccan practice into your investigation?
Not with the client as an interaction, because I always want to respect their belief system.
Sure.
But I do use it in my faith. I do a cleansing and a blessing before I enter any property. I'll always have my pentagram, my pentacle on, under my shirt, because, again, I don't want to offend anybody. And being in the South, most of the people that we meet with are Christians.
Sure.
And they do get offended at that, and I would never want to offend anybody. I don't, you know, I would never come out and say to them, you know, I'm a Wiccan minister and I'm going to bless your house for you. But we've been asked to do cleansings, and a couple of times I've told people, you know, if you want me to do it, that's fine, but I am pagan, you know, and a couple of them were fine with it. They didn't care, you know, it didn't matter. They were just so desperate to get it done.
Right.
But that's the only respect that I would bring my faith into it. Is for my own protection and the protection that affords my team as well. Even though I'm not asking them to participate, I'm still putting a barrier around us for protection.
Right. That absolutely makes sense. And You know, I live in Western Washington, and we're a little more freewheeling out here as far as religion and faith goes. And so you find more acceptance of things like the Wiccan faith and that type of thing. But I understand in the South it's a little bit different. And we have had people who have said to us, you know, when they've talked about us coming in to investigate, are you Christians? And that's sometimes a difficult question to answer because we have people of various faiths on our team. And, you know, well, we have a few. That's usually our answer. We have some, yes. So I wanted to ask you guys about the cleansing because I have some I'm always very curious about cleansing. First of all, do you feel it works? Do you feel it works for the long term? And if it does work, how does it work? Because I believe that spirits have free will. And so if you cleanse a property, is that subjugating their free will somehow?
I don't believe so, because when I do personally do a cleansing, I'm cleansing any negative energy that's in the place. So if there's a spirit there and they're not a negative energy, you know, they're free to remain. But I think the cleansing just takes any negativity out of the picture, or it attempts to. Doesn't always work. I've had cleansings where I've done for an 8-hour cleansing and then had to come back, like, you know, the following weekend or, you know, a few days later because it really didn't do any good. A lot of times it takes a lot more than that as well. You know, if somebody is a Christian and they want a cleansing done, first thing I'll tell them, being I'm not Christian, is if one of my team can't do it, then maybe you ought to call your pastor.
Sure.
Whatever religious leader that you are associated with to do it first, because I want them to feel that they are moving within their own faith.
Sure.
And sometimes the fact of having the pastor come in may help. But I found where it'll help temporarily, and then they're calling me like 3 weeks later, okay, I give up. You know, you need to come in and do whatever your mojo is, because I tell them up front, I'm pagan, you know, and I'm not going to come in and bless it with, you know, cross and holy water. My sage is a great cleanser.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not too intensely get rid of the spirit. The cleansings I've done, the people have had spirits in there that were negative entities. They were not happy. They were causing a lot of mischief. You know, not poltergeist activity, because that's something totally different, but
it is, yes.
The cleansing would help in that respect. It works because it cleanses the spirit itself. We try to help the spirit as well as the client.
Right. Well, and so that's something that's very important to me as well, is to try and find a way to communicate with the spirit to help them.
Mm-hmm. We're always respectful of spirits, always. We will never go in and say, you know, negative things to the spirit, get out of this house. And, you know, we may ask them to leave, especially if there's children involved. We've had investigations where the kids are terrified.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll tell the spirit, listen, if you cannot exist with them, coexist with them, and not show yourself and cause activity to scare these children, then you need to leave.
Right.
Because these children are human, living children, and they're terrified. That's the only instance myself personally would ever ask a spirit to leave the property.
So what do you guys do when you have a case where the homeowners want the spirits to leave because they are scaring, you know, say their children, but the spirits don't want to leave? What kind of resolution do they have in that case?
Well, I think there's, you know, a couple of things. I know Julie's got some good thoughts on that.
You know, honestly, there's one case that I'm thinking of where that happened, and it was kind of a, you know, the kids were terrified type thing, and they wanted the spirits just to be gone, and it was, you know, other than doing a blessing for them, I think that kind of, what do I want to say, placated them, and I don't know that the spirits left. I don't know that was really a successful event, let's just say. It was a group that I was with actually before this one, but it's a tricky one. I don't usually get too involved with the blessings because I'm kind of the lapsed Catholic, you know, just here kind of person in the group, I guess. But, you know, I, as far as that goes, I You know, that's a tricky one. I don't know. I've been there. I've seen it. But I don't know that it did much good. That's my one take on it.
Okay.
Well, you know, you always see, like on the spooky paranormal TV shows, where they have the priest come in and bless the house and things are quiet for a day or two, and then it gets worse. I mean, that seems like a really common element of the spooky, my house was haunted, this is a true story thing. What's that about, do you think? Is that just a building drama for a TV true story? Because I've read about it, and I've talked to people where this has happened, and it just, you know, it's like when it's to the point now where I like to watch Paranormal Witness, because I find it amusing, and but it's to the point where when the people say, okay, and now we're going to have a priest come into the house, I'm like, no, it's going to make it worse.
It's kind of like those chop-up movies where, you know there's a killer in the woods, but what do? They go out in the woods by themselves, you know?
Exactly.
You're like,
that's
you know, I think it's a lot to do with drama, but, I mean, I've known instances where people have had the priest come in and things did get worse. You know what? I'm a firm believer of prayer and magic or anything you want to call it, all being and coming from us. Mm-hmm. If you believe it enough and you want it to happen, it'll happen. So, you know, if you go in there with the priest and you believe in that priest's ability, you know, you're either going to not notice the spirit or the spirit's going to respect your wishes and leave. But as far as it being dramatized, I definitely think so. I'm sorry, I believe in the paranormal 100%, but some of the things I see, I think they're just over-dramatized.
They're hilarious is what they are. But the problem is that I find them hilarious, but somebody who doesn't know a thing about it and is sitting and watching finds it terrifying, and then it's like, there's a certain group of people that watch all the paranormal shows, and then they get, like, paranormal hypochondria.
Yes.
So I have someone who has told me in the past several times that they think that the more you feed into, let's say, the frenzy of what's might be going on around you, or might not really be there, it could actually make it worse, or maybe, you know, you see where I'm going with this? What do you guys think about that?
There's a certain part that's in your head, is what you're saying.
Yes, but that
hysteria. There you go. That's what.
But not only that, that it actually creates something that's not just in your head, or it makes something that is really there more of something.
Well, it gives it energy, is what you're saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Thank you.
It
does.
Well said.
Let's face it, ladies. Okay, if they filmed us on a typical investigation, our ratings would be in the toilet, because
mine too.
Most of the time we're sitting there and people would be like, this is so boring.
I know.
I guess so the TV, they have to spice it up.
Yeah. I know, we're not very exciting when we investigate, but there's this expectation that paranormal is this big, huge, energetic event. And things do fly through the air, and full-bodied apparitions appear, and things scream, get out, while they're scratching you in the face. You know, and it's more subtle than that.
I think you're right. I think it's probably 99% of the time very subtle, but I also still think there's that, you know, 1% of the time where it is in your face, and it is, you know, an apparition, you know, yelling at you or whatever.
Well, I've had those things happen.
Well, you
absolutely
have.
And I'm sure you ladies have too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah. I've been scratched, pinched, hit, my hair pulled, you know, touched, you name it, you know, but it's not like every investigation that we go on and, you know, we'll sit there for 8 hours and sometimes nothing happens.
Right.
You know, nothing that we can tell. And then the EVPs are the fun part, because you hear nothing all night long, and then all of a sudden you're listening to it, and it's like, wow, you know, that was in that room with me. That's so cool.
I know.
So can I ask Rosemary something real quick before we go to break? Rosemary, you consider yourself a sensitive, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. How does that? Do you see things? Do you hear things? How does that come into play during your investigations?
Both. I sense things. I start sensing things when I approach a property, and I can feel it. I can feel it's like atmosphere changes to me That's the only way I can explain it so people understand. I do hear things. I'll hear voices. I hear people talking to me. I have seen things. I've seen full body apparitions at times. Not on our investigations, you know, that we've done here as a group, but when I was in New York. That it's like a mixture, you know. Some people are just clairvoyant or, you know, clairaudient. I'm both.
Okay. And so, I mean, I always think that helps you hone in more quickly than, say, someone without those abilities when you're out there on an investigation. Do you find that to be true?
I do. The only drawback of it is we have a strict protocol that we don't say anything to each other during the investigation, not only just in front of the client, but because we don't want to influence another investigator's idea of what's happening. So I keep it to myself until I'm doing my evaluation, and then I bring it out.
Right.
Because it's not fair to the other investigators either. If they don't have any ability and they're just like, blah, 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 going through the house, I don't want to freak them out and say, guess what? This is over here. And it's tainted then for the rest of the night.
Got it.
Right. I understand perfectly. And we actually all carry pads and paper, and we write it down because we have several sensitives on our team as well. And right. Yeah, absolutely. So,
definitely. No, I write it down during the investigations.
Yeah. So I think you ladies are the perfect people to answer this question. There are a lot of people who are very new and very green in the paranormal field, and they head on into a place and they're wide open and they're completely unprotected. And I don't think that that's necessarily the best way for these folks to be. So if somebody is brand new and they're headed to a haunted location or a potentially haunted location, how would you recommend that they protect themselves? And how do you recommend that people prepare before they investigate so that you don't walk in wide open and wind up, you know, having things happen it may not be the best thing for your psyche?
Right. Well, for myself, I would say research. Do your research before you go to the place. Don't listen to old wives' tales as much as the history of the property, because we all know that people blow things out of proportion. I would definitely, for myself, I create a circle of white light, but other people it might be to pray. You know, it depends on whatever your personal beliefs are. Always put some protection around yourself in one way or the other, however your faith determines it. That's what I would say. And also, keep aware of your surroundings and never, ever investigate alone.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Very good. So, I use a bubble. But I use a bubble of white light, and I do similar to what you were saying. But this is the question I get from people a lot. Well, if you put a bubble around yourself, how can your psychic abilities work then? How do you let anything in?
Well, you can let things in as far as your sensitivities, because actually what it is you're not really letting things in, you're reaching out to it. So anytime you're reaching out, you have the control over what's surrounding you. So see, if there's a spirit, you know, nothing's going to block your sensibilities. Nothing's going to stop your senses from sensing it if that's how you are. It doesn't matter if there's a bubble or a white light. Light is just energy.
Right.
And preventing something from coming in, you know, a spirit, a physical attack, or a psychic attack, but you're not preventing from sensing what's out there.
Right. Right. That makes sense. That sounds good to me. So Cheryl, I know Cheryl was loading commercials.
Sorry.
Are you ready with those, Cheryl?
I am. I'm ready.
Okay, good. So what we need to do is we need to go to break. You guys can stick around for a little while longer, right?
Sure.
Yeah, we need to play EVPs too.
Yeah, I was just going to say when we come back, we're going to be playing the promised creepy EVPs that you guys sent. So We are talking to Rosemarie and Julie from Afterlife Paranormal Investigations of the Carolinas. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. Stick around. We'll be back in just a few minutes with some EVPs.
Hi, I'm Joe Perry.
And Stephen Boy from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never
let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The odds of a young girl being discovered by an industry insider while singing to herself pumping gas? 1 in 300 million. The odds of the daughter of a clergyman from Severn, Maryland spending 11 weeks at number one on the U.S. singles charts? 1 in 19 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of selling over 40 million records? 1 in 800,000. And the odds of this musician and performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 150. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen.
Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
We're skating up a good time on your favorite radio station.
You're listening to Z-Talk Radio Network. expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio. That was Cheryl's headset.
Okay, I'm going to get a new headset this week, I promise. There's some strange interference over here with this headset.
Satanic sounds.
I know. I'm so sorry. It happened last week when you weren't here, Karen, a couple times, and I thought maybe if I moved the cord.
Oh, my gosh, it's hilarious. No. So we are talking to Rosemary and Julie from Afterlife Paranormal Investigations of the Carolinas, and you guys are, as you pointed out at the break, I noticed, and I was going to mention it. You're members of the Ghost Adventures crew, and so here's my question for you. Does that mean you have to wear your t-shirts two sizes too small?
No.
That's classic.
You know, if I look like, you know, if I had a physique like that, it would be fine, but yeah.
No, definitely not.
Is there something other than just the name that unites you as part of the Ghost Adventures crew? Do they have some protocols that they share with you, or is it a marketing thing, or what is involved in being a member of the GAC?
Well, you have to have had a certain amount of investigations under your belt and a few extra years of experience. They don't take groups that are, you know, have all their new investigators or, like, you know, just out of the gate kind of thing. They do have protocol, and their protocol is a little different than ours because they will go off and investigate by themselves, which we don't allow. But other than that, it's, you know, they respect our way of doing things, and you have to get approved. You got to go through the approval process. Takes a couple weeks.
Sure.
Yeah.
Cool. And it is kind of a good marketing thing too, because it gives people who are looking for that. Do they refer people to you if they have somebody in your area, that type of thing?
No, they don't do that, but they do have a website link. A link on their website that has a list of all the groups that are approved. So we're definitely on that list.
Great. Well, I think you guys should really think about the t-shirts. So, and also before we got to the EVPs, I wanted to ask you about the work that you guys were doing with St. Jude's Hospital, which is one of my favorite charities. It's just a wonderful charity.
Well, we're members of Carolina's Believers of Hope, and our section is called Afterlife Paranormal Awareness to Hope. And on our website, we do have a link that people can go to, and every donation that is made to that link goes directly 100% to St. Jude's. We believe in it very strongly. We all love kids. Some of us have a lot, Julie.
I have a lot, yeah. I have five.
Whoa!
We've got a great family, yeah. And we all respect that and want to see, you know, children of all should not be suffering. And St. Jude's does so much for people, for kids and for the families. So we just felt it was worthwhile charity.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for your work in that area. I am a huge, I'm actually a court-appointed child advocate. So right there with you. Thanks for the work that you do. That's fantastic. So, Cheryl.
Yes, hi, I'm trying to sit here and not move, because we'll get that crazy sound.
Cheryl's playing statue. She's frozen.
I'm like yeah.
You guys you're going to play some EVPs for us, so I do kind of want to try to guess what it says, but clearly it can't be part of the game, because my lead on Rick is already so big.
Yeah, I don't think he'll ever recover. I don't think he'll ever recover, I have to say. You're too good at it.
I'm just that good.
Yeah. And I can't play because I can see the file names, and I think some of them are labeled with what they say. So
we're not going to play the EVP games, but I do like to... What we like to do is we like to play them, let people hear them a couple of times, and see if they can figure out what it is, and then have you tell us about it. Sound good?
Sounds good. Good.
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to tell everybody who's listening to turn up their speakers, or their headphones, actually, or their speakers, because sometimes when we had to transfer a few of them to MP3s, they kind of lose just a little bit of quality, so it's harder to hear. So turn it up really loud.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys ready for the first one?
Yes.
Here we go.
these fingers out. Keep them out.
Keeping it up and okay. Is that right?
No, actually, it said kill you in this cage.
Oh, oh. Well, that totally was different.
But okay. You kind of got the pattern of it, though.
That was one of our most active cases that we had.
So tell us about the circumstances of recording that. And
okay. Well, the property was an older building, and for, you know, for privacy, I can't tell you where or who.
Sure.
But it's in South Carolina, and the house was built in 1820. People were having issues in their little baby's room with things moving and the baby crying in the middle of the night. Would see shadow figures and everything. And then during the night, late at night, they would hear like a dragging down the hallway. So we were up in the baby's room. It was like the end of the night. We had heard the dragging in the hallway.
Mm-hmm.
We went upstairs, decided to do an EVP session in the baby's room. And that's what we were doing. And that room, when these people purchased that house, had bars on the windows and locks on the outside of the door. So we didn't know. We couldn't find history on it. We knew it was slaves that lived there. All right. That much we did find out. And that was thanks to Julie. She did the research on it. And we found that out. And when we were doing the EVP session, when we heard that, it kind of made sense to us because it was kind of like a cage.
Right.
When these people bought the house. So that's what I'm thinking it's related to.
Hmm. So let's listen to it again, Cheryl. And it's kind of a scratchy voice, right? That's what we're listening.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There it is at the okay at the it goes kill you in the cage at the very
end. Yeah,
it's the creepiest one of the creepiest EVPs we've had in out of a lot of investigations that we've done. That was really. And it was hard to tell the client, this is what you got there. And I'm, pretty sure they've moved out since then, so.
Yeah.
It was a neat house, a really neat house, too. So,
did you
cool
hear
house.
It that time, Cheryl? Did you hear it?
I did hear it.
All right. Very mm-hmm. good. Okay, so the next one.
Okay.
Okay, well, I've got where it is, so I need to hear it again now.
All right. I think it's towards the end, right?
It's kind of a sing-song. Ha,
yeah.
Ha,
yeah.
Sound.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I thought it was, too. I thought it said Lucy. What do you?
I thought that too at first. We still don't know what that one says.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tough one to hear what it says, but Lucy's as good of a thought as any. So, what was the circumstances with that one?
That one was another older house, and that was in North Carolina, though. And that one was where I think there was a little girl. I'm trying to remember. There was a little girl that had passed in the house. And that's what we thought it was that little girl. We had a lot of activity on the K2 meter that night. We had questions being asked. Crystal was asking questions, and it would just respond to her. It just liked her. It would talk back to her on that, but it wouldn't answer anybody else. So, Crystal is a petite, pretty little blonde thing, and, very, I don't know, like the typical little mommy. You know what I'm saying? So I'm thinking that that's probably why, but who knows?
So
I guess we can never quite figure out exactly what it said.
Well, I was just looking at the file name, and I seriously didn't even see this until just now. So you did label what you thought it said, or somebody did. And I'm curious, Karen, did you have any thought on what that word said before I tell you what the file is?
Let me hear it one more time.
Okay, just one sec. Let me put it back over here. All right. Mm-mm. Anything? Okay, well, I don't know. The file's labeled cookie.
Yeah. That's just what we thought at first, but I still am not convinced it's what it says.
Okay.
I don't think so, because I don't hear that hard consonant in the middle.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So, interesting. Yeah. Okay, so next.
All right.
It's kind of it's a high pitched voice in the background again, right?
Let me hear it again. I'm not sure which one you're playing.
Okay. Sounds like somebody humming.
Yeah, it sounded like a woman's voice whispering in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
When we first looked to it, yeah.
Yeah, it's hard to make out what any of it is because it's very faint. But mm-hmm. To me, it sounds like somebody's humming.
Yeah, and that was that same house, and I did hear humming that night and music. But I was the only one who heard the music, so nobody knew where it was coming from either.
Huh. Okay,
but the music didn't show up on the EVP.
Huh. Karen, going back to the last EVP.
Yeah.
The cookie one or Lucy or whatever you want to hear. Rob said cookie, and I'm still not sure if he said it before I said cookie or after.
No, he said it after. And Rob said cookie. Okay. Rob in our chat room. Rob said cookie because he is addicted to them, and whenever anybody says cookie,
he gets excited. Nice. Thanks, Rob. Elaine says it said whoopsie.
A whoopsie. Hey.
Whoopsie.
Whoopsie. That makes sense.
That's what Elaine just said.
Because I actually thought it was excuse me, but again, I didn't hear the hard stop for mm-hmm. muh. Mm-hmm. So whoopsie okay. might make sense.
Yeah.
Let's listen to it again.
I think.
What the heck?
It makes more sense than Lucy, but okay. Here we go. One more time on that one we were just talking about. Okay, yeah, that totally sounds like it now that I hear that.
See, no, because again, I don't hear the hard stop.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's the problem is there's not the consonant is it's a soft if there is a consonant in the middle, but it's a soft consonant, like
right.
s or something. So it's not a ch or a t or a p. It's a s or something a soft consonant, and that's why it's hard to make out. So
right.
That's how I analyze my EVPs. By the way, guys, I listen for consonants. Can you tell?
Yeah.
I'm giving that one to Elaine. She gets a point in the game, even though we're not playing.
Elaine, you have entered the game. Good job. All right. So next one.
All right.
This house or on the surrounding land, Mary Abel or Paul Abel. Chassis walking and sitting.
All I can hear is a clock ticking.
Right. I can't. That one's coming across very distorted. Unless
yeah, I can't hear that. I can't tell what that one's from or anything.
Yeah, me either.
The
it didn't come through clear.
Okay, the label is hate.
A Okay. Hmm. Not quite sure where that one was from.
No.
All right.
I don't remember. I can't hear enough of it to determine even what investigators were there.
Well, then we'll just move on to the next one. How's that sound?
Sure.
Okay.
All righty. Here's the next one. Ooh, creepy.
Was it
one.
The something something master?
No, it said I missed you.
At the end.
That was the same mm-hmm. house that the Kill You one was in. We were downstairs and we had the EVP, you know, the recorders going, we had our EMF meters on, and we had a sensor going across from one end of this room across the hallway. Mm-hmm. And half our team was up at the front of the house. Remember, Julie?
Yeah, totally.
And then the rest of us were back in the kitchen. And we were nobody was moving. Everybody was sitting down, and the sensor went off. And Jesse came in, and he says, "That you, mister?" or whatever. I can't remember what he said exactly, but a few seconds after that, we heard the EVP on there, "I missed you."
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I got the creeps because when that thing went off, I saw somebody walking down the hallway.
I remember that.
And I thought it was Jesse. Yeah, I thought it was Jesse.
Right.
But it wasn't.
Yep.
He was in the front room.
I love mm-hmm. it, though, when you get the confluence of events where it can't, I mean, where coincidence becomes harder and harder when you have a sensor go off and you see mm-hmm. something and you get an EVP. I find that makes a case much more strongly.
It does.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it happened several times that night, too.
That's cool. Can we listen to that again? Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, sure. No, I was going to say, we tried to recreate it and debunk it.
Yeah.
But when we had the sensor on, they moved around in the front of the house. We moved around in the back of the house because we were thinking, well, maybe we're just delusional. It's 2 a.m. Maybe we moved and we didn't realize it, but it wasn't. We were all...
It wouldn't
go off.
Mm-mm, we could never trip it, just, you know, walking where
exactly.
we were. Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
I think that's perfect. I mean, that's a pack. That's like a little package of evidence.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah, which makes it mm-hmm. beautiful. I like yeah. those. I want to hear that one more time.
Okay.
And you know, it almost sounds like Jesse responds to it, but he probably doesn't. So was that disembodied? Did he hear that? Or was he just continuing his previous thought?
He was continuing trying to contact, you know, to make contact to talk.
Okay.
Right.
And he was in the other room, and, you know, because the house wasn't that big, but it was like a wide hallway and tall ceilings. So you could hear the person in the next room. And we could hear him talking, and then, you know, that was caught. And then the alarm went off, and then that one, we caught that right after.
Cool.
Because he went back and reset it. Yeah, it was cool.
How many more do we have, Cheryl?
Let's see. It looks like we have 5 more.
Oh, yay!
Yay.
We're only halfway through. All right. Next
Ready?
One.
Okay, here's the next one.
I got nothing.
I heard low talking. Yeah.
Yeah, I heard low Deep. Talking.
Yeah.
The file name is Let's Play.
I didn't even hear it on that one. It's distorted for me. Maybe it's my phone.
You know what? I think it's same here because I'm on a cordless. It's kind of hard to make it out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, I could hear definitely low talking. I don't know what that's from, but it's definitely, it sounded like a male talking very low, you know, deep mm-hmm. voice.
You mm-hmm. want me to play it one more time?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah, that one's a little hard to hear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right, let's try this one. It's about 11 seconds.
Are you the one that grabbed the baby that day? Made the bed move? Were you trying to save the baby from something?
Is it like a whisper?
It is.
And it's right after you say, are you the one that moved the baby that day, moved the baby that day, or whatever it was. Yeah, there's a whisper that said yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that was in a house where a child was murdered. And that was also the same house I was talking about before, where the spirit of the child was communicating through the K2.
Okay. All right. One more time, Cheryl.
Okay.
Are you the one that grabbed the baby that day? Made the bed move? Were you trying to save the baby from something?
Yeah, I hear it after made the bed move. Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's something there.
What, Cheryl?
There's something there. I can't make it out. But.
Okay. All right.
All right. Yes. Here's the next one.
It might work, but no. Oh well.
Okay, so is it the whispery woman's voice?
Yes.
Okay, let's play it one more time.
Okay.
Oh, it might work, but no. Oh well.
Does it start out with, it's like May, it's not any words I understand, but it's like May Madrigue or something is what it sounded like.
It's, yes, we couldn't make it out either.
Okay.
We couldn't make it out, but we knew it wasn't any of us.
Yeah, it wasn't us. Mm-mm.
So what is the circumstances of that one?
I think that was the same house that we were in. A lot of these are from that one house because we had so much activity. That was, I think, from the one house that we were in that we heard the kill you and
okay.
All that
in the baby's room. Yeah. Except I think we were in the hallway. We also heard somebody say, hey. We heard it with our ears. Pretty sure Jesse caught it on an EVP.
Yeah, I want to say so.
Interesting.
That was a good house. Yeah.
You guys, you know, I have to say I'm a little jealous of the history for people on the East Coast and in the South, because you guys have all this. I'm out here, you know, we're still fairly new out here. so you guys have all this awesome historic sites, and you know, I'm a little envious. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, well, Massachusetts, too. New England's the same way.
Yep. No, I'd love to be up in the Northeast, too, because, gosh, the history up there where Rosie's from, I mean, that would be cool.
Yeah. So, Cheryl, got a couple more, right?
Yeah, and I just want to say there's discussion in the chat room. Callie Girl and Sapphire thinks it said lean back, and Rob thinks it said bring back.
So let's listen to it one more time then.
All right, let's see.
Oh, it might work, but no. Oh, well. Lean back.
Oh, wow. Lean back. Don't you think?
It did sound like that.
That's what I think. Lean back more, yeah.
Yeah. Wow, they have good ears.
Thank you.
They are very experienced.
That's awesome.
at analyzing EVPs. So they're both on my, they're both members of my team. So.
Oh, they're cool. Yeah. Hey, that's awesome.
And yeah, Callie Girl's actually my daughter. Her name's Crystal.
Well, I was gonna say except Callie Girl, but Jenny and Rob are.
They were all on the same track there. That's pretty cool.
I know. That's pretty good. Okay, so next one.
All right, let's go on to the next one.
Uh-huh.
What? I think I need to do that one again. Mm-hmm. Real quick.
Put my nose in this.
Uh-huh. Okay, so that was the audio itself, not me.
Right? Is it just the roll? Is it like the... is that what the EVP is?
Like choppy, yeah. Like that? Yeah.
But is the groan, is that what you're hearing in there? It's like a growl or something?
It sounded like, I don't know, it's not really a growl to me. To me, it just sounded like somebody was like, you know, like, oh no, like, or.
Yeah.
Like, ruminating. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure I was hearing what you heard. So.
Yeah.
Oh, and was that in that same house?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. A lot in that house.
Wow. I guess so. Do we have a couple more?
One more. Here, let me play the last one.
Can only assume that was recorded alongside a freeway.
Yeah, there was a lot of cars going by. That one house was like 2 feet from the street.
Yeah, oh, well, and was that inside or outside of the house?
It was inside the house. I don't know.
Oh my God, how could you have even listened to that audio?
Ugh. I know, it was terrible listening to it all from all night, but it was really difficult to determine anything on that place because we didn't know if it was outside noise or, yeah. Cars going by or what. It was just so noisy.
Oh, yeah, lots of audio contamination. Those are the frustrating ones where you have all that audio. One of the places that we investigate, or we used to investigate regularly, is right next to a train track. Oh, my God.
Gosh.
So the chatroom says here... A couple of people say it said here. I'm not sure if it was this one or the last one we played, but or there. Here or there.
I didn't even pick up where the EVP was because I was so distracted by the audio. Or by the...
the noise, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so loud. Mm. The background noise, yeah.
So was that house... Did you have other interesting things happen in that house? Or was a lot of it related to being right next to a really, really busy road?
Well, we were getting EVP spikes where there was no reason for it in the room that supposedly this baby was. And, you know, with all the noise and everything, we really, you know, hearing noises in the house itself. You know, sometimes you hear something drop in the next room or something like that. We couldn't really determine, you know, what it was, if it was inside or outside. But the spikes on the EMF... really, and the K2 really showed us that there was something going on. We just couldn't. And in the attic, Jesse went up in the attic and sat in the attic because that's where they found the baby's body.
Mm-hmm.
And he stayed up there for a while and got some interesting feelings of, you know, like people watching him or, you know, he had just had a lot of personal feelings, but nothing that showed up on the EVP or anything.
I think we can smell, too.
Pretty noisy, too.
Yeah.
So, in all the cases you've done so far, what stands out as the, let's say, the best case that provided the most evidence, and was it video, audio? What was that?
It was that one case where we got all the EVPs from, and the alarms went off.
Mm-hmm.
That was definitely the best case we've had so far. As far as that's concerned, the second one would be the one with the the baby that was murdered.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I agree.
Oh, that one just would be, that would about kill me just from how depressing that would be.
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible.
I'm so emotional. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was so emotional the whole night. I had to leave the room several times because I kept breaking down crying. I just couldn't take it. And, you know, you just don't do that. So I had to step outside.
Yeah. Do you both or as a team use a lot of equipment? Or are you on the other side of the spectrum and just use maybe not too much, maybe an audio recorder?
We have everything. We have everything but a thermal recorder. We have DVD. We have, we have several recorders. We have night vision cameras. We have ghost box. We have everything. I mean, it runs the whole gamut. Yep. The laser grids we have. We have individual cameras that, you know, we'll use, of course. Recorders, you know, digital recorders. We have a standard analog recorder because some theories think that you can hear more on those, although I've really never caught anything.
Mm-mm. What about the ghost box?
We do. We have the ghost box. Yeah, we do. I'm not convinced about that.
Okay. That was
my
question.
I just got,
we've got a couple of them, actually. I just got one of the newer ones to try, but I'm convinced, too, but I figure it's fun.
Okay.
I want to get the obelisk. That's what I want to get. We're trying to save enough to get the obelisk. Have you seen the new one?
I haven't seen the new one, but somebody was talking about it, and I understand that they're pretty cool now.
They are, because it's not relying on... it's not like the radio, you know, how it switches through all the radio signals, the regular ghost box. It's a little bit different than that. And instead of sounding like a computerized voice, like on the radio, and instead of sounding like human voices, it sounds like a computerized voice.
Yeah, well, it has a library of words.
Yes, it does.
Exactly.
It's like a computer.
Right. I have sort of a really early version. I have the talker box that uses the allophones as opposed to the words. And I don't use it often because it works on EMF. And the thing babbles all the time. It has an EMF chip in it, and it translates the EMF to allophones. And I've only used it a few times because it just makes me nuts. Because it sounds like, my husband says, it sounds like Stephen Hawking falling down the stairs.
So it
does. But I've had a few times where one time my son said, "Are you Italian?" And the box actually, and I have a recording of it, the box says not Italian. I mean, so it made very, very clear words out of the, you know, the gibberish. So, but the obelisk, I have like an obelisk app for my iPhone. You know, I had kind of mixed luck with it, but I think the obelisk and some of these talking things are really interesting.
They're fun. You know what I mean? It's interesting and kind of a neat, different approach. I don't know how valid, but they're fun.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. Well, you know, you want so badly to, because you know what you sort of are tuning in with in your head.
Exactly.
And you want so badly to have something that comes out in real time with those words and images that you have inside of you in your head.
Exactly.
And I think that that's what we're looking for with all of these talking things.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just so seldom that they actually do.
That's true. Very true.
So we have a question in the chat room from Elaine. She is asking if you can talk about some of your most oh my gosh moments. And if you've ever felt stupid by something that you've done during an investigation.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree with that one.
Tell us about it.
We've all had those moments.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
We have.
So what?
So
were
you don't want to specify?
I can tell you. I mean, I'll tell you mine. I'm famous for always having to use the loo after giving birth to a 10-pound child. So every time I have something to drink, I need the loo. So I've actually used up a client's toilet paper before, and left them in a panic. What am I going to do? You know, like what has ever been? And of course, this is all on EV. You know, it's all being recorded.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, this is my bladder is well known, let's just say.
Well, you need to pack in your own toilet paper. That's all there is to it.
Put it as part of the kit, you know?
That's right. That's just keep funny. Toilet paper on your person at all times. It'll be fine.
That's right. Bring the bladder kit along.
I'm carrying it in my van.
Seriously. Bring me the Charmin.
Well, you know, what I find are the most embarrassing moments, the things that scare me on an investigation are never, ever, ever the paranormal things. It's always the physical stuff, a fan clicking on, or, you know, what?
Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, that's you true. Guys find that, too, that it's the silly things, like, you know, you'll be sitting in a room and it'll be all tense and the cuckoo clock will go, cuckoo, wah!
Exactly, yep. Yes. Or the dogs outside, I remember the one time scared the living daylights out of us because they were making noise and we weren't expecting it.
Oh, the one where they were dragging the chains on the side.
Yes, remember that? Because we were just, yes, oh my gosh, that scared me.
It woke us up for sure.
It did, because it was late.
Well,
you know, you get to that kind of twilight hour where you've been at it for hours and hours, and you're pretty tired, and things aren't happening, and you're pretty mellow, and then, I mean, that's always when the heater kicks on and scares the bejesus out of you.
Exactly. Yeah. We had a weird refrigerator or something that kicked down in that one house, too, that I remember. Remember, there was something weird that scared us. Yeah, we had to, like, figure out what the heck was making that weird noise. Cause we could not
the
figure
refrigerator.
Out. Wasn't it the refrigerator? Yeah.
It went so, ooh.
Yeah.
Oh,
it was the funkiest noise.
Oh, that's too funny. So how often, when you guys investigate private residences, how often do you think you can substantiate paranormal claims, and how often do you think that it's just natural and logical?
What do you think, Rosie?
Well,
I'd say... Go ahead.
Yeah.
I mean,
I think 75% of the time it's logical.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, the same thing. I'd say maybe 25% there's something there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and usually it's, you know, just like the refrigerator making a weird wooey noise and things like, you know, there's just different things you can kind of...
Sure.
Figure out. Yeah.
Sure. I know my refrigerator, actually it's my freezer, and I'm not sure what's wrong with it, but for like the last year, I think it's dying because you'll be sitting there and you'll hear the refrigerator or the freezer go,
Oh,
if
no.
somebody was investigating my house, and we do have things go on here, if somebody was investigating my house, that would scare the pants off.
Yeah, exactly.
That would do it, yeah.
Oh, so tell me about some of the things that go on in your 100-year-old house.
You know, well, I had a cleaning lady, actually, that used to help me out, and she doesn't work here anymore because she was freaked out so badly by the house. She swore there were always people behind her when she was in here, and I don't know about that. But the things we've heard are, of course, since I have all these kids, we have a couple baby monitors, and at night we've heard very odd music over the baby monitors. And even, you know, my husband and I would sit there and think, it's almost like an instrument we've never heard before.
Hmm.
Just a very strange, like, you know, and you could tell there was a tune to it, but not anything you've heard. Boots in the hallway, it's constant. I mean, we get boots, like, big, heavy boots. We did once have a full-body apparition of a soldier wearing, like, Civil War-type attire. And that's,
well, that's cool.
This area is pretty famous for that, our town is, so
yeah.
It kind of, you know, it does fit with that.
Yeah.
What else have we had? I'm trying to think. Just all sorts of doors shutting, opening, finding things. You know, we've got the. I'm in the office actually, where the last owner died. Right now, as I'm talking to you, and you know, the door will open all of a sudden. And these door handles are like, you know, they're 100 years old. They're very hard to open. So
mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, all sorts of crazy things.
And your five kids are good with that.
You know, they grew up with, you know, kind of the ghost hunters thing and singing on TV, and they know mom goes off and does stuff, and this is what they want to do one day. So, you know, they're pretty good, though, about trying to figure out, okay, maybe the door opened because mom just turned on the air conditioning and the suction, you know, they're like little engineers trying to figure it out.
Isn't that great? I love it when I watch my son's 16 now, so he's been around this a long time too. And I love it when he's trying to figure, even in our house, he's always trying to figure out the logical stuff.
Yeah,
too.
And I love that because it really, I mean, you could, you know, they love to go around here and try to determine what was the cause of the boots, you know, and all this. And I mean,
that is critical thinking that they're probably not learning in school anymore.
Probably not.
Exactly.
So we have some questions from the chat room, and the first one is, how many investigations do you do in a month?
It just depends.
No, it depends.
Wow.
It depends. We have one We have one on the 16th, and then we have another one 2 weeks after that, and then sometimes we'll go a couple of months without any. It all depends on the client's schedule and ours, because we all work. This is, unfortunately, is not our full-time profession.
Okay.
And, you know.
I thought you said 10 at first. I don't know why I thought you said 10. I was like, whoa, that's a lot of investigating.
Wow, so, you people are busy.
So a couple a month, maybe? One or two a month?
I would say probably one to two, because, it, you know, just trying to space it out weekend-wise when everybody can be there, mm-hmm. when the client can be there, yeah.
Then you have to review
all of the evidence, however many hours of evidence you gather, and so you can't really do more than a couple a month.
No, it'll kill you, and I work weekends, so usually I'm going right to an investigation after work.
Well, that was the next question. How do you review your data?
Whenever there's time, basically, you know, around the kids, I'm doing it. Usually I stay up at night and do mine.
Okay.
Yeah, me too. Or early morning, or I'll take you to bed with me. I'll bring my laptop and I'll have my headphones and start listening.
And we all tend to bring our own equipment too, and, you know, so that we all have, you know, multiple sources to kind of go through and listen to. So it's not just, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully more than one of us caught it too.
Oh, yeah, and then if you set up the DVR system, too, then you have to review all the cameras, and oh, my God.
Yeah,
that's
hot. All right, okay, let's see. We have a non-paranormal question. Ooh. What's the weirdest item that you've come across in a client's house?
Nothing really. We don't look at people's drawers or anything, you know?
Sometimes they leave it lying out, though.
Well, Chad said in the chat room earlier that he came across a shotgun sitting in the corner, and that was a bit scary.
Oh, that's typical.
That's common here.
Oh, okay.
That's every house down here.
That's just like a front door ornament. They have them like wreaths on their front doors.
They carry them in the trucks. You know, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
But, no, I can't think of anything really weird.
Nothing too strange.
Nothing comes to mind, really.
No,
sometimes I wonder about people's decorating choices, though. See.
Well, yeah, sometimes you do wonder. That's true.
Okay. If you're talking about that, definitely I could tell you a few horror stories, but...
I can think of one.
For us to judge.
Have you... Here's another question. Wow, these questions are just coming like... crazy. Have you guys ever refused to investigate a location even though you had permission?
Well, we just had a recent case that I wish we had refused to investigate.
Oh, boy.
Everybody has one of those. At least.
Oh, you have no idea. We get there, and the gentleman was telling us about these things he had seen in his yard, and he thought it was this spirit, and the spirit, you know, would point at him and make accusations and all this. So we get there, and him and his friends, who he invited, a whole party of people, we're all drunk. And it was just a nightmare. It was the worst investigation we've ever had. We threatened to leave like 4 times because he was just like constantly coming in and bothered. And we were outside. It was an outside investigation. He would come out there, and he would hang out with us, and he'd be loud. you know, so, I mean, we couldn't do our job right. It was just, it was a nightmare. So, you know, we've never refused an investigation. The only time we would refuse one is if there's drugs involved in the house. You know, we're just not going to get into that situation. And the one we were in, actually, Jesse was out in the field investigating, and the owner decided he was going to drive up the road and shoot some shots off. And all of a sudden, we hear shotgun, and Jesse's out there. We didn't know what was going on with him. So we're like, this is it. You know, we're gone.
Oh, my gosh.
Turn people down unless there's a really good reason.
So how did you get yourself out of that situation? You know, you have a drunken party, you have people, you know, shooting their shotgun off in the front yard. What do you do?
Well, I had a long talk with them, Jesse and I both did, and we told them, look, you know what, we are going to pack up right this minute and leave. If everybody does not get in that house, turn down the music, because they had a music going on in there. Turn down the music and stay in the house, and no more shooting. So they listened to us, so we stayed. But if it had happened one more, you know, if they did it one more time, come out, we just would have packed up and left. Mm-hmm. That was it. We told them it's a safety issue. You're contaminating any evidence we might have. You know, they constantly come out. So did you see anything? Did you see anything? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we explained to them 100 times that we're not going to tell you while we're here. We have to review our evidence.
So,
you know, and they got the hint.
Let me ask, did you find anything there?
No, nothing at all.
Okay,
well,
just had to check.
If perhaps there might have been some other drugs that were causing perhaps the ghost in the yard to stand and point accusingly. You know, things that might cause a little paranoia or something that may or may not have just been legalized in Washington State on Tuesday.
Seriously. I'll tell you what. It's so crazy that, you know, you're just sitting there thinking, why am I still here? But, you know, we're so dedicated, we want to learn what's going on, we want to help the client, but,
of course,
you know, it's just one of those things where we're not putting our lives in danger either.
No, I would definitely, you guys sound like you probably stuck it out longer than I would have. So,
yeah. So I have a final at least from my point of view. I have one more question, and I wanted to ask each of you, whose work in the paranormal field do you respect the most, and why?
That's a good question. There's quite a few people that I do respect. You know, we used to have a great amount of respect for the TAPS team, but in my opinion, they've gotten too commercial. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as far as professionals are concerned, there are several other groups out there that are very good. There's one, New England Paranormal. They are very down to earth. They operate very much the way we do. I think they've come a long way in what they're doing. They're a small group, too, just like us. And the nice thing about them, and we do the same, is we're willing to co-investigate with other groups, which lot of them are not. Okay. The group we left got so big, and they were too busy making videos and trying to become famous. They lost sight of the fact that we were all a team, you know, instead of a hierarchy. And we will never get that way. We never will. And I respect any group that will stand by and, you know, say, no, you know what, the client comes first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Good answer.
Yeah,
I would say, I mean, pretty much second what Rosie said. I think that one big lesson learned just from having been in the last group together and then being in prior groups is the smaller groups function a lot better. I think there's a lot better communication. I think there's a lot better teamwork. And, you know, we're not out here to be famous or to be recognized. We're just out here to help and to find out for our own curiosities and such. And I think groups like that are the ones that we relate the most to. And I think also, you know, working with other groups is a huge, you know, benefit. You know, if they're willing to work with us, that's awesome. So that's something we try to seek out, too.
I think it's a great way to learn and to share information by working with other groups. I love doing it.
Me too.
We do it a lot.
Great.
So. So, ladies, we are coming to the end of our show here. Can you give out website or any other information where people might go and learn more about you guys?
Sure.
Yeah, definitely. Just 1 second. I think I'm losing my phone. Hold on.
Oh, no.
Jesse, Jesse. He's on a break.
Oh, no. Poor guy.
You can go to www.afterlifeparanormalofthecarolinas.com.
Okay.
And that'll bring you to us, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're also on paranormal societies. I mean, we have links to a lot of different groups.
And we're on Facebook, too.
Okay. All right. Very good. So any final thoughts for our listeners before we set you free?
We just thank you so much for having us.
Thank you. Yes, we appreciate it. We appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, it's been a lot of fun. You guys have been great guests.
Yes, well, we've had a great time. I mean, yeah, this is a much better night than putting my kids to bed. So, thank you.
and so, is somebody doing that for you?
Let's hope my husband did. Just word it that way.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers and toes crossed.
It's okay. I'll be done here, and mine will be hungry because he's 16 and he's always hungry.
Oh, I have one of those too. So, yeah, I can relate.
All right. Well, Julie and Rosemary, thank you so much for coming on. You guys have been a lot of fun to talk to.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks to both of you.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, have a good evening.
You too.
You too.
Good night.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so Cheryl, we have what next week?
I wanted to thank Rosemary and Julie, and thank you too, Karen. That was a great interview you did. So,
well, next, you helped.
Barely. Anyway, next week we have Lee Brown, and she is the founder of Paranormal Research Organization of the Southeast, and she will join us and talk about what her team is up to, and I hear they're doing a lot of great things, so I'm excited for that. The week after, we have Jill Marie Morris, who Yay. Has been on the show before. She's a psychic medium, the author of two books. One is called 207, A Personal Account of Love, Paranormal Phenomenon, and Demonic Possession. And I know that she is currently filming a documentary about her story and what happened.
All right, very good. Yeah. And hopefully Rick will be back next week. And, you know, yes. Rick and I haven't been together on the air for a couple of weeks, and I think we two crazy kids are going to make it if he just comes back on the show. So
you'll make it.
That's right. And there's a new issue?
Oh, yes. I think it might have been up last week, I think. But anyway, if everybody goes to paranormalunderground.net, they will find our latest issue online. And it has a lot of good stories. I think I might have even promoted it in last week's show. But okay. There's a lot of good stuff. Our usual columns are there. We have an investigator spotlight. We have haunted sites. We have this month we have a cryptid story. We have our ongoing editorial series by our own Karen Fraser. Can't miss
it. Oh,
that.
Yes. I don't remember what I editorialized about this month, but I'm sure it was pointless.
It was what we talked about earlier. It was about extraordinary proof and belief or wavering belief in paranormal.
Right.
So. And then also your special report on your time with the fake Dybbuk boxes in this issue.
The Fibbuk box, that's right. I'm still recovering from that.
Yeah.
So, also, I just want to put a quick call out to people. I am trying to do some research for an article in the magazine on a connection between psychic abilities and migraines. Mm-hmm. So, if anybody has something to add to that, if you could email editor@paranormalunderground.net, and you know, if you'd be willing to talk to me about that, Cheryl will put you in touch with me. And I'd like to talk to you because I hear from a lot of people, and I'm one of those people, that migraines often come in close concert with psychic abilities. And I think it'd be an interesting article.
Definitely, I'm interested in that. I think that we've heard back from quite a few people. We put that question out on our Facebook page, mm-hmm. and we've already got some response on that. So it seems like there just might be something to that.
it does seem like there might be something, and it's worth exploring. As a matter of fact, I emailed Lloyd Auerbach and Neil McNeil and are, you know, trying to get some information from them on it as well. Mm-hmm. So Lloyd's looking for studies.
Ooh.
I know, right? Wow. He says he doesn't think there are any, but he's looking.
He's looking. Okay.
So there you go. And if they then maybe there should be studies. Mm-hmm. That's all I'm saying.
There you go. Maybe you should start one. Wait, you kind
all
of
right.
are.
All right. So we have come once again to the end of our show. Stick yes. around for Fox City's Paranormal after us. They're on tonight, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And then next week, come back to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z Talk Radio. It's going to be 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, and other times in the flyover states where Rick lives. Thank you, everybody, for listening. It's Paranormal Underground Radio on Z Talk Radio. We'll talk to you next week. Good night.
Night.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.
There's something in your mind you cannot hide. You can try everything, you'll be high in the end. There's something on your cheek, it's flowing like a creek. Are there tears, or just dying memories? Keep doing what you do. All the stolen thief. Keep seeing what you say, but remember that everywhere you'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief. You'll be the stolen thief, my friend.